Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Talk to FEZ Podcast. I'm your host, Lanry Oyekunle. And if you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button so you don't miss another episode of our favorite podcast. Yes, so today I actually struggled trying to think of what am I going to talk about with you guys, right? And I think this is, what, episode 3? So, you know that syndrome of, okay, I've done the first one, someone said they like it, I did the second one, okay, not too bad. And then the third one, you're just struggling like, now I need to set some kind of precedent. And I'm a little bit worried, like, what do I talk about? But I know how it goes, right? I'm here with friends and colleagues and, you know, mentors. So I'm sure you guys will take it easy with me as I navigate through this journey of getting really comfortable being a podcast host. Well, so today I'm actually going to talk about childhood, and I'm going to break it down into three parts. I'll talk about those memories that funded how I grew up right from when I was young. I'll talk about how uni days went, because whether I like it or not, I spent about 3.5 years in uni. That was because I did summer school. And then I'll talk about 1 year of NYSC, because that was really, really crazy. Like, I'll take you guys way back into NYSC camp in Lagos, how the boys were, how the girls were. That was the days of BlackBerry just coming out. What camp was like, waking up in the morning to go jog and go march. So yeah, we'll get into the details of all that. All right, so let's start from early childhood. So I was born in Kano, so that was like a really sad part to growing up. Even though I wasn't so old when we left, I still have that childhood memory of my grandma having us in the car, and she was, you know, struggling to just close up her shop so we could rush home because there was a riot going on. For those of you who have stayed in the north, or for those of you who are old enough to know what riots used to be like, maybe you heard the stories. Riots in the north used to be really, really crazy, guys. Like, really, really crazy. And now, my mom used to be a Muslim. I think she's still one. I don't know, to be honest. So I'm not one to slur, shame, or talk bad about Muslims. But when I remember Kano vividly, like, my memory of Kano is just chaos and trouble, and that's really about riots. Riots usually start on Friday, like after Friday mocks, like you just see those boys. So in Lagos, you know the ones they call area boys, the omotas that roam around and be like, hey, chama, what did they happen now? She, So the version of that in Kano, they call them Yandabas. So Yandabas are like the area boys in Kano. Like, they, back then they weren't actually bikes, so they weren't really Okada boys. They weren't in the parks, but they were just like guys roaming around. So in the north, there's something called Almajiris, where when young boys are really, really small, from the age of 3 or 4, they actually have plates around their necks. And I can really remember how those boys come to the gates to come and beg for food. They have a song that they actually sing. Waidi, Barka. So you can hear them from far. Like, you find like 500, and I'm not kidding, guys, like 500 plus boys roaming around a certain neighborhood. So back to my story. My childhood memory of Kano, like, I just remember vividly grandma locking up the shop, everybody running helter-skelter, because once there's a riot, it starts in one area and it starts building up and building up, right? So from one small area, before you know, 2 hours later, it has escalated. And there's a very big place in Kano called Bata. Bata is like a big roundabout where there's a big market and the rest of all that. Once the riot gets to Bata, man, trust me, Kano is crippled. Like, no matter where you're going to, you're stuck. So once you hear there's a riot, and there were no telephones back then, so it wasn't one of those things that somebody could call you to tell you, ah, there's riot too. So if you're not one that know people who know people, there's a very high chance that you'll get stuck in one of those places, and it might be really bad for you. Like, I'm sorry to ruin your evening, but one of my very, very vivid remembrance of Kano was driving through Bata and seeing a pregnant woman right at the roundabout, head cut off, and her tummy was sliced open. Like, those boys are that crazy. You can see their sticks and fire from afar. So yeah, I started on a sad note, but that was really my memory of Kano. because of the riots and the rest of all that, grandma had to run away from Kano because that thing wasn't sustainable, man. Like, you die of panic attack if you stay in that town at that point in time. So we moved to Lagos. Now, my memories of Lagos, you know that new, it's not really a new skit out where they sent that guy to go buy tetracycline and Septree. That's like one of my memories of Lagos. Like, grandma sends me to go grind pepper or go do something. Like, I'm not one of those boys that they used to let out of the house. Like, they'll just leave you roam about, say you're going to your friend's place. Like, are you high? My grandmother won't even let you out of the house. Not to talk of saying you're going to your... She'll ask you, why is your friend not coming to see you in the house? Why are you the one going to your friend's house? So the only time I have to go out is when they send me to go and buy something. And the moment I'm out like that, man, I'm going to play football. Like, I'll go and play football. I'll get really dirty. There was a day they sent me to go and grind pepper. And guess what? Somebody used the football to hit the bucket and my pepper poured away. Like, hey, I'm dead. Like, I didn't even know what to say. Like, it's one of those messages that they send you. It's supposed to last 45 minutes plus and minus your time of playing football. But 2 hours, I was still outside. Though. Like, I didn't even know how to go inside. I was down praying it's one of those days that visitors will come so I can follow them and enter inside the house so that when Kasala box, I can quickly explain that, see, oh, Pepe has poor, so you people need to go and buy another one. But yeah, that was like childhood growing up in Lagos. At some point, they started allowing me go out. And I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness family, right? So part of my experience of going out was having to go house to go preach. Like, I'm one of those boys that know the inside of everybody's house in our neighborhood. And it's not because I used to poke nose, it's because I've gone there to go and preach. I think that's actually part of where I got my fear for public speaking. Like, I got a lot of confidence being a young boy of 7, 8, 9, being the one in front, going to tell people. Like, imagine you going to tell people where Jesus Christ came to give his life for you. People that don't even know whether they've seen food, they're looking at you like, this boy, are you okay? You now wear tie around your neck and carrying bag. They're just looking at you like, this one, you don't bless it, you don't mad. You know, so that's how growing up was. Like, it was really, really crazy. Like, I grew a tough skin. Like, you go into some people's compound and the eyes that they are using to look at you. I can remember vividly, there's this compound. Like, they always allow us to enter first before they release their dog. At the moment they release that dog, as a young boy now, before you know me, I don't reach gates. But imagine me with one of all those old mamas. Like, my grandma doesn't enter that compound. Like, never. I don't know if you see grandma inside that kind of place. But yeah, that was what growing up was like in Lagos. And then at some point, I moved back again to Kano. I stayed in Kano for like 2 years. My memory of Kano then was riots were actually a lot less at that point. That was like 2000, 2001. It wasn't so bad. But once in 2 years, you still find riots. Like, I remember one of the riots, right? My grandpa was in Lagos. My grandma was in Lagos. It was only me and my cousin, like my female cousin who used to stay in the house with us then. Like, me and Iyabo in the house, and riots broke out. Like, who do we call? Like, what's going to happen now? That time, MTN just started. So grandpa's phone was one of those unique numbers that you never forget. But we didn't have a phone in the house, so you have to go to calling center to go and call. Man, look at me and Yabo thinking, do we go and call or do we just stay in the house? And staying in the house, that means the moment those guys break into your house, it's over. Like, there's nowhere for you to run to. Anyway, to cut the long story short, grandpa heard about the riot from Lagos. He called one of our neighbors who knew soldiers. They came to the house to come and rescue me and Yabo. Like, it was one of all those things you see in a movie. You know those movies that they're telling you the world is about to end, then they are sending signals to people, and then the car is moving fast, and if you don't meet it by so time, you're going to die. Like, I was in one of those kind of experiences. Like, your heart is literally in your mouth. Like, if anything happens right now or more, you don't die, you get. So yeah, from Kano, I moved to the UK. Like, moving to the UK. I remember that was like my first time in an aeroplane. Hey, Omo, taking off was sweet, though. I can't forget. Like, taking off was sweet. But landing, I don't know whether that pilot was doing NYSC. Like, the guy landed for over 15 minutes. My heart was in my mouth to say, hey, my village people, they know one man reach Heathrow. You know that one MFM people used to call failure at the edge of breakthrough.
like, I've gotten to Heathrow already. It's just remaining for us to land. And this pilot wants to kill me. Hey, you know, go happen. You know, but it was a very, very turbulent flight, I remember. And it was my first time flying. Like, it was a very terrible experience. But all my mind was just telling me, see, man, I'm going to London. That's like enough motivation to stay through any kind of turbulence. So getting to the UK, I stayed with my dad. My dad was working night. My stepmom worked night. I'll be the only one home at night. You know, NEPA doesn't used to take light. It used to baffle me. Like, what's going on here? Like, they went off. Like, are you people serious? They went off this light. Like, for the first 1 week, I was playing battle with light. I would just be looking at it and say, so you sure say this thing don't go big? You know, but after like the first 1 or 2 weeks, I got used to it that, man, they don't take light for year. I got used to it. Then I started going to school. Going to school was terrible. Like, my school was so far from my house. My school was in Harrod Hill and I stay in Dagenham. So that was like a 45-minute drive in a bus. Man, every morning I used to be late to school. Not late because I woke up late, though, but I would sleep on the bus and the bus would take me to the last bus stop. Then when I wake up, I have to take another bus that will take me back. You know, one of all those ones that when I'm in the bus, I'll now stand. I'll be doing my eye. I wish you guys could see me. Like, I'll be opening my eye to make sure I don't sleep. Because if I miss this one, they're taking me back to Dagenham again. But yeah, that's part of my childhood. Part of my growing up. I thought I was going to do everything at once, but I think I've already done like 11 minutes already just talking through the first part. So this will be part A. Part B, we'll talk about how I left London to go to university. Like, that was a crazy story. Like, London boy just coming into uni in Ibadan. Like, how did I cope? What did I do? We'll talk about that in a subsequent podcast. But for now, let me just calm down and leave it at 11 minutes so I don't bore you guys to death. But if you've stayed this far, as usual, you're my G, man. Like, you'd be a correct person. For you to even stay this far and listen to me, like, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening to this episode. And I'll be back with another one in the jiffy.